It's almost noon at the garlic press, and the line is starting to grow. It's a familiar scene for Rachel Carpenter, who's an education manager for the nearby Children's Discovery Museum. She's a regular, but not only because the garlic press is an easy walk.
I come here probably between 2 and 3 times a week.
Do you have a favorite item?
I do. It's the BLTSA. Their chili lime sauce is to die for.
And you like the fact that it's locally sourced, a lot of the ingredients that matters to you?
It does. We participate in a CSA here as well, and I really like the fact that they are supporting our farmers. This is a huge farm community, and that's something that we didn't have where we used to live, and I think it's important to support the local small farms. They're doing great things in our community.
The Illinois Stewardship Alliance cites a 2011 study that estimated if Central Illinois shoppers bought 15% of their food directly from local farmers, it would generate $639 million in new income a year for the region. Restaurants buying direct from local farmers create an even larger impact. That's something Sarah McManus of the Garlic Press tries to do as much as possible, and she says the supplier network has really grown from the days when she had farmers walking through her doors offering produce. While that still happens today, she mostly relies now on Legacy of the Land, a group of family farms straddling McLean, Woodford, Livingston, and DeWitt counties. She calls it a grocery store on wheels. The group, formed in 2012, is committed to raising animals and growing crops without chemicals or GMOs. And with a better supply, McManus says the local foods movement is really taking off.
My goodness, it's everywhere. And it does my heart well to see it. As anything that becomes popular, you will see it saturate the market, and hopefully in an honest way. You don't want to see something taken advantage and just call it farm to fork. If it is a trend, if it's cool, if it makes your business look good, oh darn, you know, that's a great thing. Ultimately, great. Get that local stuff in here. But I do hope and have an eye open that places don't take advantage of people and consumers.
So you mentioned being honest about it. So are you talking about labeling things organic that aren't necessarily, and labeling things as local when they're not necessarily? And have you seen that already?
Well, as someone who's been a buyer and out in the world for all kinds of categories, you see people exploit a trend. You want to ask questions where you go, and that, you know, say, where did you get this? Do you buy this salad locally? Do you, you know, ask when you go out to eat and when you go places, and the people will respond, because we've had a great response here. We started doing it because we just are the garlic press. Our roots are in good food. We're 40 years old this year. We've always been about making things from scratch and creating good food with real ingredients. So for us, it's just kind of who we are. But the market has changed so much, and there's so much more available. So it's easier for us to find those products.
But because the garlic press is a lunch location, not a fancy white tablecloth kind of place, McManus knows, for example, when her restaurant kicks off the local flavor series Thursday, she'll be serving locally sourced chicken and not the $12 a pound pork loin she was thinking about until she heard the price. That is part of her challenge. That, and sometimes the availability or lack of, drives what she can offer. But still, the garlic press has its regulars. However, McManus is going to enjoy seeing newbies this week. She tries to help them navigate as she introduces them to new ideas about what they can eat.
We'll certainly get people that they're new to it. They might think that sunflower shoot's just a little odd. And you know what? I get that. I completely understand that. But we like to ease them in. And I think it does make a difference.
The Garlic Press recently expanded into a new segment of the local foods movement when it began making artisan breads with locally sourced flour. It's all part of a new CSA.
Community-supported agriculture, that's what CSA is. You basically are paying the seed money up front. In a traditional farming situation, you say, here's X number of dollars, $200, whatever it is. And so you're guaranteed vegetables throughout the season. And so what we've done is said, okay, well, let's do the exact same plan, is people have paid up front so that they could get one loaf of bread every week. When they pick up their vegetables, they pick up the loaf of bread as well. What a great thing that comes together. And at the same pickup, Coffee Hound April Fritzen is there, and they do a coffee CSA. So everything, I mean, we're missing chocolate here, but we've got vegetables and coffee and good, good bread. So, it's been a great thing. We filled up our CSA. We weren't sure how much we could handle, so we cut it off at 25.
McManus spends a lot of time on the phone trying to find the right ingredients at a good price. She couldn't really give us an average of how much more fresh ingredients add to the cost of a meal, but she believes it's worth it. And so does Chef Kate Donnell, who graduated from Illinois State University with a music degree, but followed her passion for cooking to the Garlic Press, where she uses fresh, locally sourced ingredients every day.
I'm cutting up a bit of onion for an herb-stuffed Roma tomato that we like to do here. Got some yellow onion, we'll have some fresh herbs, capers, and some olives. It's pretty delicious. Throw that together with some panko breadcrumbs, salt, some salt and pepper, and stuff some tomatoes with it. It's pretty good.
It sounds like a nice, light summer dish almost.
It is. This is something I especially like to make with local tomatoes when they come in. We've just got conventional tomatoes today, but once we get those local ones, man, it's delicious. It's really nice.
Okay, so you've got your onion here. What's next?
Next, we're going to grab some of these fresh herbs. We've actually got some Jones Country Gardens lemon basil today. So that'll be nice, and it'll go well with the other herbs and the breadcrumbs and the tomato. Just very summery. So picking off some leaves here, which we'll rinse and combine with the onion. You actually don't have to cook the onion first. It roasts up with the tomatoes and kind of melts together. It's very yummy.
That also makes it a little bit easier. One less step, no sautéing.
Definitely.
I like that.
Yes, yes. I mean, cooking is a labor of love, and that's why I do it, but shortcuts are also essential in this kind of kitchen, just to get everything out on time. I don't want to decimate the herbs. They don't need to be completely fine. It's nice to have a little bit more chunky bits in there. It gives it a better texture, and it's also prettier. So I throw that in my bowl with the onion. Those are my herbs for this dish.
And is mixed with homemade breadcrumbs, which go into a pan with extra virgin olive oil.
So I just keep the breadcrumbs moving in the pan so they don't burn and they toast and they absorb the olive oil and garlic evenly. Kind of bring them apart if they start to stick together. So these tomatoes have already been washed, but I like to give them another wash because food safety.
Ready Chef Kate gets ready to add the final ingredient to the panko breadcrumbs and herb mixture, green olives infused with more herbs.
There's rosemary in there. There's definitely some oregano and thyme, so it goes really well with this dish. You can also use Kalamata if you'd like, capers, whatever you've got around. So I just post these in the food processor.
Now you just a final mix.
Yep, just fold in the olives here.
That smells so good.
Doesn't it? And you can use this to stuff pretty much anything you've got around. If you've got some nice eggplant, wonderful. Zucchini, wonderful. You can even stuff onions. You can stuff cabbage leaves. I mean, the vegetable sides you can make just from this stuffing mix. You can do whatever you've got around. It's a very versatile thing. So now I'm just cutting off the very bottom of these tomatoes so they sit upright, nice and pretty. Take my spoon.
You're just using a teaspoon, right?
Kind of push it in there. You don't want it too tight, nice and loose.
Now, if I wanted to make this more fattening, I could add Parmesan cheese.
Oh, definitely.
Or something like that, or an Italian blend cheese.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yeah, Parmesan would be nice. I've put feta on top of these before. It's delicious. You can fold in little bits of goat cheese to the stuffing, and that's really good as well. I'm keeping this vegan just because it's nice to have a vegan side available for people, but cheese is always welcome at the Garlic Press. We love cheese.
We'll bake in a 350-degree oven for about 15 to 20 minutes. Chef Kate says if you make this at home, the prep should take only about 15 minutes. But still, it's hard to imagine this kind of cooking with fresh ingredients and all the cutting and chopping could ever be offered at a fast food drive-up. Best casual restaurants such as Panera and Chipotle tout their organically grown clean ingredients. But does McManus think the local foods movement will ultimately land at a takeout window?
That's an excellent question. And I've had that same fantasy that I wish I could drive through and get fresh fruit salad with lime zest on it, like we have at the Garlic Press. I would go there every single time. And boy, I suppose, is that my next move, you know? I'm landlocked. I can't do a drive-through, but I've just got to think that it is, that it's going that way. I have a hard time having faith in a large, big box chain restaurant being able to do that, to pull it off. But with pressure from the public, they just might, and I can hope for it.
For WGLT, I'm Colleen Reynolds.